This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Transform Wisconsin is a statewide coalition that's been working for the past 18 months to create healthier places for people to live, work, and play. In western Wisconsin, five counties are working with the group to make improvements in the greater La Crosse area. A recently released regional survey shows that the vast majority of area adults are concerned with two particular public health problems, childhood obesity and youth tobacco use. La Crosse County Extension Director Mary Meehan Stroob discussed the survey results with Paula Silla, co-coordinator of the La Crosse Healthy Living Collaboration, and Autumn Grooms, project coordinator of Monroe County's Schools on the Go.
In Monroe County, one of the things that was particularly interesting to us was that residents agree that youth tobacco use and child obesity are serious problems, which is important to our grant, which is a food systems impact grant. Of those, 91% of Monroe County voters surveyed think that childhood obesity is a serious problem in Wisconsin, and 36% said that it's very serious. And this is important to the work that we've been doing, we're focusing on healthier eating habits through farm to school.
Were the results different in each county?
I think the percentages were probably a little different in counties, but the overwhelmingly, I think the positive message here is that people in this part of Wisconsin, as well as really across all of Wisconsin, are supportive of creating environments that support healthy behaviors. They're concerned about these health behaviors that contribute to chronic disease, and they're looking at what can we do as citizens who live in these communities to make the environment healthier. People really care. It's on their radar screen that overweight children is a risk factor for chronic disease. It's on their radar screen that kids being inactive contributes to obesity. It's on their radar screen that tobacco use contributes to chronic disease as well. And so I think it was just reaffirming when we've been working in some of these lifestyle health-related areas that people are listening to the messages that we're giving and the things we're trying to do, and there's not a lot of resistance. There is, yeah, tell us more. Help us create a healthier environment.
So what is the rate of childhood obesity and teenage smoking in the counties that identified those as the major problems?
I think the general rate is that one out of three children is overweight or obese.
Okay.
And the smoking rates, I think it's about between 10 and 13% of the population, which is down from what it was a number of years ago. But it still is an important factor and a contributing factor to chronic disease and lifestyle illness later on in life.
And would the same be true in Monroe County then?
It is true. And what was interesting in to add to what Paula had said, is there wasn't a lot of variation between male and female in the polling results. These are concerns that stretch across gender lines, that people are concerned about the health of children and youth smoking and tobacco-free locations for residents to have.
You talk about the results in terms of childhood obesity and teenage smoking. Did you have results in terms of adults, or were they specifically looking in terms of our youth today and then extrapolating what that could mean into the future?
I think the polling data really looked at the adults' perception of the health of children.
Okay.
And that they're concerned about tobacco use among kids. They're concerned about obesity. They're concerned about environments that may or may not be open to kids to be physically active away from the school day or even during the school day. Some of the things that we're seeing or we're incorporating with this community transformation grant are active schools, where we look at, it seems almost silly to be talking about minutes of physical activity at recess, but teaching kids how to play games in the playground so that they're physically active during recess. That's what recess is about, isn't it? And maybe it was when we were kids. You know, I listened to the staff who are working with the school educators and the kinds of strategies that they're incorporating, and I'm thinking, wow, you have to really encourage kids to be physically active at recess or physically active in the classroom. I understand the importance of taking a break and burning off some energy so that you can pay attention in the classroom, but having active lessons as a part of your classroom as well, it's all – it's stuff that you know works, but it's being done in, I think, very deliberate ways and very evidence-based ways that really show a connection to learning and show a connection to health. So
do the findings from this poll, do they match the kinds of problems that you found in your counties that you've been working on as well?
I think they really show a lot of the work that's been done in the first year of these Transform Wisconsin grants. I know a lot of the food-related questions and childhood obesity questions highlight some of the work that's been done in Monroe County in regards to farm to school. We've been working a lot to improve access to fresh fruits and vegetables, and by integrating some of the local items on the school lunch lines, that's showing kids and their families how to find maybe fresh tomatoes, and we've incorporated school gardens, and that's improving recreational activities for families to work in the school gardens, and it's also bringing some of those fresh produce items in, and it's showing them how to garden at home. So some of the things that were highlighted here, it just exemplifies some of the work that's been done through these grants, and that'll be done further in the next year, and I'm assuming the same has been done in La Crosse mm-hmm. County as well.
I think we also had the opportunity in La Crosse County with the Communities Putting Prevention to Work grant initiative that we received in 2010 that started some of the farm-to-school activities in La Crosse County schools. But the Community Transformation Grant some other funding from the UW-Madison School of Medicine with the Harvest of the Month project in schools, which has expanded the farm-to-school reach, has continued to give that those activities wheels or keep them going, and also help us to look at sustainability when this project funding is over. How can we build it into the environment and the policies of the school so that they're looking for local sources of produce? The menuing of different produce that we're talking about, kale chips, and what a big hit kale chips were when they menu these items. So before they're served in the school lunches, they do taste testing where mm-hmm. these kids have an opportunity to try a taste. I always called it at home a no thank you helping, you know, where you try it, you don't have to have a whole plate full of it, but you try it. And if they try these things and then they're menued maybe the next week and then they're menued some other time during the month and it's grown locally and maybe they've even grown it in their school garden, it's just that it emphasizes the connection to the environment and gets the kids excited about the food that they're growing that's grown locally. You had a great story that you told about a young man who didn't like tomatoes.
One of the big things that's happened with the program is we had school gardens that really took off this summer with the Transform Wisconsin money. We were able to put school gardens at a school in each of the districts. And a young man that attends school at Norwalk, Ontario, Wilton, had tried some fresh salsa that was made at the school using the tomatoes from the garden, and he tried the salsa and he really liked it, and he had gone home and told his mother how much he liked the salsa, and he wanted to then make salsa at home using the tomatoes from his garden. The only thing is this boy had never liked tomatoes before, would not eat tomatoes, and so his mother had emailed requesting the recipe for the salsa from the school. And we were able to get her that recipe, and they went on to make the salsa at home. And so we've created a recipe exchange on our website and social media sites where now people can get some of the recipes that we've been making at school to share with the families. And that's been really popular as a way to continue to help families make some healthier recipes. So that's been a benefit.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, La Crosse. I'm Mary Mian Strube, and my guests today are Paula Silha, co-coordinator for the La Crosse Healthy Living Collaboration, and Autumn Grooms, project coordinator for the Monroe County Schools on the Go project. And we've been talking about the recently released Healthy Living Poll and what it says for the communities in western Wisconsin. Health departments have been fighting these kinds of issues for years. Teen smoking is an example of that. Do you think the results from the polls reflect reality?
Well, I surely hope they do. I mean, I hope that it's very encouraging to think that they do. I would hope they do, because it shows that the work we've been doing over the years in tobacco prevention and control make a difference. I think we wouldn't have a smoke-free workplace law if we hadn't been talking about the harmful effects of secondhand smoke. And I think what really was the tipping point for me is when we started talking about smoke-free environments and the youth prevention strategy that smoke-free environments are. I don't know that the science is enough yet to push our local elected officials to look at regulations on smoking in outdoor areas, but I surely think there's enough personal information and enough personal testimony from people who are impacted by it. I mean, I talk to people all the time who are impacted by that. So I think if we use tobacco as the example, certainly the polling shows that there's an interest in looking at outdoor smoking. Do we have the political will yet to do something about it? I don't know, but that doesn't mean that individual people, business owners or park organizers couldn't do it on their own. And so we'll see where we end up with that. I know it's something that the Monroe County Safe Communities Coalition has talked about for the last several months as well. And I know that festivals talk about it routinely when they're thinking about hosting their outdoor festivals and maybe having a food tent or a beer tent or whatever. Should there be smoking in that beer tent or food tent? The smoke-free workplace law allows them to set those guidelines for their event. It doesn't say they can't do it. It certainly says that they can. And I think with any of us, the realization that smoke-free areas are youth prevention strategies just helps to make it more meaningful. To me, that was really a big tipping point when we were talking about smoke-free restaurants back in the 1990s was, oh, there's a connection to kids not starting to smoke if you have smoke-free restaurants. Yeah, there is. And that's where we're looking at smoke-free multi-unit housing in the Transform Project in La Crosse County and also in Monroe County, is we're looking at environments that families and kids live in. We're not trying to legislate what you can and cannot do in your own home. We're looking at how what you do and don't do in your home impacts your neighbors. And I think the statistic that was really mind-boggling really to me was to think about the air in any given apartment is recycled air. 60% of that air is recycled from neighboring apartments. I guess it makes sense. You can tell when someone's making tacos for dinner, you know, down the hall from where you live if you're in an apartment building. I lived in apartment buildings or dorms. You can tell when someone was making popcorn down the hall. You know, so yeah, the air is exchanged or recycled. And you think about the secondhand smoke, it knows no boundaries. It can get through the light switches. You know, it can get through lots of small openings as well. And so if we think about smoke-free air and we think about the youth prevention strategy, it's really a given that we want to be thinking about the impact then on you know, preventing and helping people to quit, preventing people from using.
How does the health departments in both La Crosse and Monroe counties intend to use the information from this survey as you look to future programming?
We've been partnering a lot with the Monroe County Health Department, and we're looking at the data, and we've done some other activities, and we're looking as we move forward at making some decisions with what we'll be doing in the coming year, and we're going to be implementing more school gardens and looking at ways for WIC participants and senior services to become involved with possibly getting some food from the gardens and being able to access some things that way. And then we're also looking at policies that are in place, such as wellness policies in the school district and throughout the community. And with the help of the health department, we're going to be working on some of those things.
And I think that polling data really is something that we need to utilize to educate our decision makers that the public does care about this, and that and it affirms, I think, the activities and the work that we're doing. I mean, we all get the pushback sometimes of, oh, the nanny state, you know, that's being promoted out there. But really, people do care. We sometimes only hear from the vocal minority. We don't hear from the majority. And I think this polling data shows us that, you know, people care about the environment that they live in. We need to use this data and help to educate our legislators so that they have the will and the knowledge to say, yeah, you know, the people in Western Wisconsin do care about this, and it is important to, you know, put some support, maybe financial support, but maybe just the support of, we think these are good ideas, and we encourage you to continue to look for funding to do that, or to be present at some of the events that we pull together.
How long will it take before we'll see change in, say, childhood obesity?
It takes a couple years. I mean, it's just like with any of us. If I want to lose 5 pounds, it doesn't come off in a week. You know, it takes weeks, it takes months. But if we're looking at changing the environment in which we raise our kids, and we're looking at having it be something that is a positive thing, that is just the way we live now, and sustaining it, integrating it, so to speak, into the environment and into policies that are there, supporting it so that it's not just a blip of a change, it's going to take time. And I'm thinking it's going to take several years. Do I think it'll take a decade? I don't think it'll take that long, but it's going to take several years. And I think we want to ensure that what we're doing is very positive and very integrated into the way schools operate, so that they can continue to do it when the money is gone. And so, I mean, it's complicated to do, but we also didn't get to the point where we were having kids be less active just like that either. It was a gradual process, and now it's a gradual ramping up of that process. The same thing with smoking. You know, you can talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. It's got to be the right kind of message that hits the smoker to go, oh, maybe that's why.
Do the findings from the 5 counties in western Wisconsin differ from other parts of the state?
I can't say that there's a significant difference. You know, what I have seen in some of the major talking points, I mean, this one, nearly 8 out of 10 people in Wisconsin are willing to pay more for locally grown fruits and vegetables in our schools. I think the polling data really speaks to the idea, I think statewide, that we all care about this. I'm sure there are little nuances that but as I looked at the data, even from the 5 counties, it was a percentage point or 2 difference. It wasn't 10 or 20 percentage points. And so, and it didn't really matter if the populations were Republican or Democrat or male or female. And that was the other affirming thing to me as well. Sometimes, well, in the political environment that we've had in Wisconsin in the last couple of years, it's been so polarizing. But I think this data helped to say, in Wisconsin, we care about the health of our kids. We care about, you know, what kinds of food we're feeding our kids, and we care about the environments that they're growing up in.
As a result of this poll, is there any prevention money that this opens up or will open up for and make available to the projects that you're working with?
I don't know that there's any state money that's associated with that. I don't think there's any money going to obesity prevention in the state budget. I mean, I know that there is some money going into tobacco prevention and control in the state budget. But this money associated with the transformation grants, whether it be one focus area, food systems or active living or the smoke-free multi-unit housing issue, because some communities got money for all three and some communities got money for only one or two things. Mm-hmm. This is funding from the Centers for Disease Control and is no state-level funding at all. I think what this polling data does is it helps us to use this to educate our legislators to say, hey, Wisconsin is one of the, I think we're 48 out of 50 states for funding in public health. That's not a good thing. What is the money going to? Well, I guess we need to ask our legislators, you know, about that. It's going to other things in this state. And maybe if we can help our environmental or help our families lead healthier lives, we can spend more money in, you know, in prevention using these monies to start. But I think we need to use this polling data to say, you know, this is important stuff. And our local residents need to also be telling their legislators that. It can't just be those of us who are working in the projects because they think we have a vested interest. So I would call to the audience and say, if you care about these kinds of things, let your legislator know. It doesn't need to be a 3-page letter. It can be a quick email that you send, that you heard these people talking about this, you know, these kinds of activities, and you think they're a good idea. We want the the non-vocal majority to weigh in on their feelings or their views about preventive health and public health and support for these kinds of activities.
Anything else that you'd like to add that I didn't draw out that you wanted to be sure was shared?
On the Transform Wisconsin website, there's a lot of information about various projects that are going on throughout the state. You can learn more about what's going on in Green Bay, what's going on locally, and there's some great initiatives that have been started that are absolutely fantastic, and they all focus on public health and reducing chronic disease.
Autumn Grooms is project coordinator of the Monroe County Schools on the Go program. Paula Silla is co-coordinator of the La Crosse Healthy Living Consortium. They spoke with Mary Meehan Stroop, director of UW La Crosse Extension for La Crosse County, about the results of a recent public health survey that found issues of child obesity and youth tobacco use topping the list of issues of concern to those who participated in the five-county Western Wisconsin survey, part of the Transform Wisconsin statewide initiative. Information about the Transform Wisconsin movement is available on our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Coming up, Maureen McCollum talks with a UW La Crosse biologist who helps build realistic models of frogs that are being used to research the behavior of frogs in Central America. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, pictures, and related web links can all be found on our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also weigh in with your comments or track us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.